Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For me, you know, I've got a lot of fights, so it's just fun, you know.
Jan Błachowicz!
You can see the top going! Amanda Ribas!
So, I'm here to give a big show for you, because you deserve this.
Amanda Ribas!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
I hope I don't have to start wearing my glasses during the broadcast.
I hope you do, bro.
Why?
Because you look like somebody had a shrink ray on fucking Bobby Kelly.
Dude, there. I'm at a point now, and welcome to UFC Unfiltered, by the way. I have my glasses on, so of course I'm talking to Matt, and sometimes I bend them down like this.
I don't know if people would get the reference. No, that's definitely too old man.
Do you not like these?
When you did it the other way, sometimes it's a little Mr. Magoo-ish.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do the kids nowadays know who Mr. Magoo is?
I think by reference they do. Like, it's one of those things that people have referenced for so many years. It's like if you say to somebody, oh, Christ, he looks like Frankenstein. Everybody knows that. I don't know why we all know it. You ever wonder how a reference gets passed through? Like, how does everybody know who Frankenstein is? But they're not really making new Frankenstein movies. Or occasionally they do.
You know what? I think people just get it. Like, when last night, this is not the same thing. But, like, when I say, like, you're my little bird, like, people... Like, I was in the metaverse last night. I was playing my Pop One, and this guy came up to me. His name was Judas, some number behind it.
Right.
And he goes, dude, I can't believe it. He goes, I can't fucking. Now I'm looking to snipe. I'm sniping.
Sure.
And there's a Pixel person next to me talking to me. And he goes, I can't believe it. It's you. He found me. He listens to the podcast. He goes, I love you and your little Jimmy Bird. He said right. That Jimmy, he's not even calling you Jim Norton. He called you. Jimmy Bird.
Well, the reason it works is people know that whenever I have to shit, I avoid the bathroom and I go right to the windshield of someone's car. So I think that's why the bird reference works. Boo.
I had to sip my coffee. I can't fake laugh. It was fucking so bad. But it's listening.
Yeah. You should never.
Oh, Jimmy, I love when you have a fucking stinker.
Never give it to me unless I earn it.
No, but listen, it's not open. That's why that guy was a fan.
Yeah.
He was a fucking fan. So then I, you know what I did in that game when you put your fist like this together, literally.
Yes. Matt is putting his fist up. Like,
I'm going to put my knuckles out. Almost like you get a knuckle somebody.
Fist bump. Yeah.
Yeah. Fist bump. So then we became friends on there. This is a horrible start. Should we start the show now?
No, we're into it with my glasses. By the way, we have Amanda Ribas on today, and we have Jan Błachowicz, who we have not talked to. Have we talked to him since his loss to Glover? I don't know. He's fighting Alexander Rakic, and of course, Amanda's fighting our pal, Caitlin Chookagian.
Yeah, you know, I've seen Caitlin's been around. She works a lot with my black belt, Jason Rao.
Okay.
We're a lot at Sarah BJJ because she's always. Jason teaches her, you know, a lot of jujitsu. And I'll tell you right now, I won't get into it when Amanda's here because I'll feel like whatever. She's more than just a striker. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
She looks very good on the floor. Amanda is great on the floor. So that's what I'm saying. So I think if Amanda feels that she'll, all right, Caitlin's good with her but her side kicks and her footwork and her strikes.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get her to the floor and just like,
well, care. By the way, Matt, isn't Caitlin a brown belt?
Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying is in her fights, I think you see her more standing. More
putting yeah, yeah, up yeah. Definitely.
Than you see her, do, even though you've seen her on the floor. I don't know. I think she's like, you know, she what she did to
Antonina.
With her grappling, she mounted fucking
Antonina Shevchenko.
Guys, stop.
No.
No.
That's good.
Listen to me. I know why, because I'm forgetful, guys. But listen. Anyway, okay. A grappling is very underrated, is what my point yeah. was. This is one of those shows, Jimmy, where yeah. we're all, it's almost like having a rough first round.
Yeah, yeah, no, but it's good though. So that's how it should be. That's why people like us, because we stink.
Hey, Amanda Ribas is coming in, and we haven't spoken to her in a long time. Is that somebody I know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Alex, what's up, man? Hey, Alex, have you judo thrown anybody this morning?
I'm waiting for you to come to my school.
Listen to me. If we ever roll, I'm pulling guard. I know you with your throws. Alex, I miss you.
I miss you too, man.
All right, but get out of here. We don't want to talk to you. Amanda. Get out of there. Don't Joe Biden her. Hey, listen. What's up? Sorry, Jimmy. What's up? How are you? How you been?
Yes, I'm being really good. It's fight week, you know? So for me, it's awesome.
So you're happy fight week. So many fighters I've talked to get very kind of a little ornery or surly on fight week because of the weight cut, but you feel great. You're happy.
Yes, because I think the hard time for me is on the gym. So on the gym, I have all the pressure, all the really hard training. And this week is cut weight. It's a little hard too, but it's cut weight and do interviews and see the games, watch fights. So it's good, this part.
Always so happy, Amanda. Yep. Every time I see you, you're always smiling. You're the opposite of Peter Yan, where he's never smiling unless he's in the cage, and then he's smiling like a psychopath. You're always smiling until you're in the cage, and then we see your game face. That's correct, no?
Do you know what I think? I think we attract the vibe we put on. So when, yeah, if I say, hi, I don't like to do interview, I don't like to take photos, this vibe you come to me. So I'm tired, but I need to do interview. Okay, let's breathe, put the best energy, and the energy will come back. So I believe in that.
Well, it's good that people want to talk to you. Like it's bad for a fighter if there's no interviews to do because nobody wants to talk to you. It's always good if people want to talk to you.
Yes, for sure. That's nice to listen, because imagine if the fight week, nobody's scheduled. You will be just sitting in the room waiting the time of the training. So that's not nice.
And it means you probably have a decent position on the main card because they're interviewing you. Like if you're like the second fight of the prelims, they're probably not going to be interviewing you. But if you're on the main card, you have a good spot on the main card. I mean, they're more likely to want to get you interviews.
I didn't understand.
Oh, sorry.
My English is good, but not that good.
You gotta talk a little bit slower.
Sorry, I talk very quickly. It also means people want to talk to you because you have a good spot on the main card.
Yeah, that's true. And that you fight against the number one of the ranking.
That's right.
Awesome. That's good.
Your last fight was like six, seven months ago. Where you been? You've been training? What's going on?
I was training a lot and waiting for a fight because I was supposed to fight against Michelle and she hurt and she asked for more time. And I was waiting and she said she is really badly hurt and canceled the fight. And after that, I was thinking, oh my goodness, 7 months without fight. And every fighter in my weight division has a fight. And then my manager and my dad was talking to Mickey, to everybody, that I can fight 125 too, because I need to fight. Imagine, everybody's fighting. It's going good on the ranking and still on the time. And they offer Caitlin. And that was wonderful, wonderful.
Is that why you're in such a good mood today because you don't have to cut as much weight. So this is a much easier cut for you.
Yeah, I need to cut weight. Look, my water. But I need to cut, still cutting weight. Not too much, not too hard, like for strong division, but they're still cutting weight. But I think I love this fight vibe, you know, to see every fighting coming, walking here, every fighter walking here and see the cage, the UFC cage. For me, when I see the brand UFC, I start sweating because it's my life, you know.
It makes you want to fight.
Yeah.
What's really good is that you were going to fight Michelle Waterson, Karate Hottie, who's pretty famous, big name. And then it fell through. But now you have another big name with blonde fighter, Kayla. Every fight's a tough fight, but it's nice that you've got another big name, don't you think?
For sure, for sure. I think a lot of people went saw me against Caitlin, didn't believe. And I hope they didn't believe if I can win too, because I will put my best energy. I don't care if I am underdog. I like that. I like this challenge. And if they don't believe, put me more vibe, more. I want more. You know, I were in the PI yesterday. And I was looking at everybody training. I saw Brando, I saw Valentina, I saw a lot of really good famous fighter. And for me, it's like a movie. And it's so amazing. So I get so inspiration from that. So I am with fire. I am.
Do you talk to, like, will you talk to Valentina or somebody that you might have to fight? Or how do you interact with other fighters in the PI?
Everybody were training, so we didn't talk too much, just with Brandon, because he is nice, really. I like his too. Valentina were training, so we didn't talk. I think everybody were training. It's a busy space. Everybody's training.
Everybody's busy.
Everybody's professional. I try to tell my little friend, he thinks that you walk past each other in the hallway and you bump his shoulders. I go, Jimmy, they're professional. Correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Not a troublemaker, Jimmy.
But it would be hard to, I figure, I'm wondering the psychology if you see somebody who's the champion and you, I think you said you might have to have one more fight before you fought Valentina. You think even if you were to win against Caitlin?
I think everything depends how two fights go. Because if I do a really great fight, maybe. But everything depends the fight. And I need to think. Just in one blonde girl now, just in Caitlin. After that, I'm thinking another blonde girl, Valentina.
One blonde at a time.
Yes, yes. Or maybe Nona, because she will fight against Tyler in June. So I need to think about that too.
Do you watch a lot of tape? You said that during this week, you cut weight, you watch a lot of tape. Will you watch a lot of Caitlin's tape or just a little?
I watch it. In the last this week, I watched just a little bit just to refresh my mind. But I like to watch a lot of movie and the channel about food. I like.
You like the Food Network. Doesn't that make you hungry when you're cutting weight, though?
Do you believe? Relax my mind. I think when I see the people cooking, it's like, one day I can eat. So I make a list with the things that I will eat. My boyfriend, he said I need to go to the sandwich, really famous here. For como chama o sanduíche que tem aqui perto? In-N-Out. In-N-Out.
In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I never tried. He said, no, you need to go and try it. And you're okay. It is on my list.
Let me ask you. I want to hear your thoughts on the, did you see the fight with Thug Rose and Carla?
Yes, I watch it.
What's your thoughts on that fight?
Do you know what happened there? I think the both fighters was thinking too much in their strategy. Rose was waiting. Carla came to her to try to take her down. And then she will take a punch. Rose will take a punch and take this advantage. And Carla was waiting. Rose to throw a punch to her, take her down. But both are just waiting. So I think that happened, I think.
it was like watching the Derek Lewis Francis Ngannou fight when nobody wanted to throw a punch. And when you're in the cage, can you feel that a sense of urgency by the second round and the third round if you're not doing enough?
Yes, I feel, but I listen a lot of my coaches too. I think the coaches need to be at the same fight vibe to the fighters. If this strategy is not working, let's go to another one. Because if I see I lost the first round, I'm feeling I lost, and my coach say, hey, let's go to strategy two, to other strategy, because we need to go to the win.
You only have one loss in the UFC, but it's really nice to know that you could bounce back from that. Some people have a loss and then they're mentally broken. When you won your last one, so you came back. How did you feel before that? Because this is the first time you had to come back from a loss in your UFC career. How did it feel, preparation, walking out, and the fight itself?
You know, I compete a lot in my life. Since child, I am in competition, in judo competition, jiu-jitsu competition, Muay Thai competition. So I know how to lose and how to win too, because there is some fighters doesn't know how to win. Do bad things on the face. I don't like that. So I know how to win, how to lose. I don't like to lose. So I take advantage of this. I go to the gym. I saw my mistakes. I try to correct. And when I was after my loss to fight again, I was feeling with that fire in my heart, in my eyes, to get better and to show I'm not training wrong and to show I'm better. And it was funny because after I lost to COVID too, because I supposed to fight against Angela after the Marina. And after, no, to Angela, I did all my camp. My weight was really good. I'm feeling good. I did my brain, hair, everything. And in the, yeah. And on the day after, I warm up with my coaches and they tell the COVID was positive. And oh no, because of that, my brain was hurting.
Yeah. How long before the fight did you find out?
In the day of the fight, after the rating, three hours before the fight.
Oh,
that is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, boo.
Did you get really sick or just no symptoms?
Yeah, me and my dad, we are at the hotel, and the first day, I think I was with adrenaline of the fight, just my brain hurts and a little coffee. And after that, I feel really bad, really, really, really. I was like, and I look at my dad, he were bad too, and me, oh my goodness, I'm not in my home, what do you do? But all my manager and my coach sensei, he give with the UFC to give us support, but I feel bad. And after that, I get recovery good. I made my fight with Virna, and I'm here.
Oh, so you stayed in the hotel for 2 weeks?
Yeah. 2 weeks? Quantas semanas que a gente ficou em Las Vegas? I'm not good with dates. I always forgot. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. What do you watch? You said you watch movies. What kind of movies do you watch to keep your mind off the fight?
I like comedy movies. I like to watch series too, like Friends, The Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon. I like to watch this too. I love.
What comedy movies do you like?
I like with Adam Sandler. I love movies. Yeah. I know.
Those are all good. They're all, you can never go wrong with that. Did you ever see Hubie Halloween?
Oh, in Brazil, we changed the names. You believe that? I watched it, but the name of this.
I've never heard of that either.
It's different. Yeah. Maybe I watched it, but I don't remember.
They might have changed the name of it.
Yeah.
Jimmy hates comedies anyway, Jimmy.
No, I like it once in a while. I watch a comedy. I don't but watch a lot of comedy. I'm bored. I like dramas. I don't really like, I'll watch a comedy once in a while, but I prefer, you know, documentaries. I just get, you know. I
watch on the plane the documentary from Bisping.
Oh, Michael Bisping?
Yeah.
Where can I watch that? Where can we watch that?
I saw on the plane when I were traveling to here. It was really good.
I gotta find that another way than have to travel on a plane.
Yeah, you gotta take a flight. Go to Brazil on a plane, Matt.
I love Michael, but I'm not jumping into a plane. I want to see that. Was it good? How was it?
Yeah, really good, really good. I was watching. It's amazing. They talking about his high, about his loss, his win. Yeah,
he's a good guy.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you see a fighter or you become a fan of a fighter, there's so much about each of you that we don't know. I think these documentaries on fighters are always very interesting.
Yeah, I think that too. It's good to know about the fighter like a person, not just like a fighter.
Did you fight when you were a kid a lot? Like in school, did you have a lot of fighting, or is it just because it was in your family that you wanted to learn?
Just one time I did to protect my older brother. But I just throw a punch in a guy and he... Because my brother is too peaceful. If you say, Arthur, his name is Arthur. Arthur, you are a pussy. He, okay, yeah. I am. And he, don't say this with my brother.
He's a peaceful guy.
Not too much. It's like, Arthur, the house is getting fire. Okay, I will take water.
He has no stress.
No, he's...
That's a good way to live, though. He'll live to be very old because there's no stress. People like that live to be 95 years old.
Yeah, I think he will live like that because peaceful.
He doesn't train.
He trains and he's really good. He's technical. Yeah.
Well, Amanda, look, this is a really good fight. There's a lot of... implications. It's obviously a big fight for you and a big fight for Caitlin. So good luck on Saturday. And we'll definitely talk to you after. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And if you win, who do they match you up with next?
Okay. Thank you. No, did you ask or did you talk?
That's okay. I was wishing you luck on Saturday.
I was traveling in my mind.
Listen, that's me, the majority of the podcast. Tell Parupa, tell Alex, your father, everybody, we said hello and goodbye. And good luck to you, Amanda. Good luck.
All right, Amanda.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
There he is, the whole team. Later, bro. Later,
right. Have a good fight.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, how do you not like Amanda? Like, her energy is so pleasant.
I loved it. I like the way she tried the fake. Like, she didn't know if it was a question or you were saying goodbye. She's like, what?
Well, she just zoned out for a second. I do that all the time. And she at least admitted it. That's the beauty of her. She just went, oh, wait, I wasn't paying attention to you. What? She's right.
Barry, just what a good, talk about good energy.
Nice person.
You know, good energy. I go, don't talk in this poor kid's cloud. She likes some Adam Sandler movies. Don't you shit on Adam Sandler movies?
No, I don't watch them, but I respect Adam Sandler. I mean, I like him. I just, what I've seen, I like, but I've never seen like The Wedding Singer. I've never seen Little Nicky. I'm just aware of these, what they are, but I've never really watched any of them.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm aware of a pretty good card this weekend. I mean, first of all, the comeback fight for Jan Blachowicz to fight Alexander Rakic.
Alexander Rakic, yeah.
That kid's a beast.
Yeah, he is.
But I don't know, man. Jan's got that Polish power, but he's fighting a young kid. How old is...
There's a 9-year age difference. He's 39 and Alexander's 30, I believe. And when you look at, but you know, when you look at his fight with Glover, he was having really good success in the second round, throwing body punches, kind of uppercuts to the body was really helping him defend against Glover's takedowns. And then Glover clocked him and wound up taking him down against the cage. But that was a really good second round for him until he got choked. Rakish, I want to say, has lost one or two fights maximum, I think. Why don't I just look at it? I'll tell you what his record is. Yeah, 14-2.
Yeah, but in the UFC.
He has lost one fight in the UFC because he lost his first fight and then he lost a split decision to Volkan Oezdemir in December of 2019. Maybe Thiago and Anthony Smith.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to the fights.
I also have
my wife's fighting this.
Your fight. Wife is fighting, right? Where?
Yeah, man. I'll let you know. I got to find out. I got the place, but they changed it because at first it was in Coney Island outdoors and then they put it to somewhere indoors. But, I got some other guys fighting on there, too. So, this kid Jacob, this good wrestling, but it's a little stocky little thing.
Yeah.
Tough little wrestler. Yeah, he's a good kid. There should be some good fights. This kid Austin. So, there'll be some people from the Cerro Longo team over there, you know?
Yeah.
We like that every time, Jimmy.
Sure.
You know, we like what we like to do.
Will you go that week now, Matt? Will you go the day? Oh yeah, you have to for weigh-ins and stuff. You'll go like what?
Well, I'm gonna go a day before with my wife to weigh-ins.
You will?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with her. Sure. Yeah, why? Of course. And I'm proud of her, man. It's crazy. She has some good.
She likes to fight. Yeah,
although she likes it, it's amazing, dude. Because if you see where she came from, she never did anything. Like she never did any sports or anything. So. Like she doesn't have any mileage on her, like athletically. Like, you know what I mean? Even though she's
right.
You know, she's 38, it's not your typical close to 40-year-old. She's in good shape. So it's good, man. Listen, they got the headgear on, they got the shin pads, they can whack each other. You know, it's nothing crazy. It's like 3 2-minute rounds. It's like six minutes.
Yeah, but you're still getting kicked in the head and
I'm gonna send you some sparring over. You're gonna watch it, you're gonna be like, oh. She's working.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, you know?
Is it hard for you to watch your wife fight? Like, because it's your wife and somebody's hitting her, and even though it's another woman, is it still like, does it still make you like, fuck?
No, I don't want to. Like, look, she's been working with one of our fighters, Lauren Braccia, who's a pro. She fights for us. Lauren's awesome. I know her, you know, we know her a while. She's fought for us a while, but she's whacking her. She's hitting her. So she's keeping my wife honest. It's not like, you know, you have to because you're getting ready for a fight. You're doing an injustice if she goes in without ever knowing what a punch feels like. You know what I mean?
If you don't train somebody properly or spar with them properly, you're hurting them actually by not doing that.
So, yeah, she got a proper work in. But so, you know, I know she's got the right work in. And again, it, like as far as her getting hit, it's part of the game, you know. I don't want to see her go unconscious. I don't want to see her get, you know, you sure. Don't want to see her get hurt. You know, so a loved one hurt, so it is kind of like that. But I think she's going to do great because she trains hard. It's cute, you know, I like it. You know, she's sitting there, you know, she's training hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes me proud, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm sitting there, like the other night, I'm rolling with a couple of my black belts, my buddy Abe and Pat. And then next to us in the cage, my wife's working with Colombo or Carol Colombo, a trainer. She's getting ready for her fight. Then I got my kids playing off to the side. I got guys training off. Dude, it's a fucking, my academy is like a fucking, it's a good energy there, Jimmy.
And it's also crazy. Everyone in the Sarah household could beat my ass.
Everybody
in the Sarah household. I would be the weakest person there. If it was six of us, I would be in last place fighting.
It's a beautiful thing, Jimmy. It's fun. It's a fun thing for everybody. I'm always the happiest when my whole family's there because, you know, the other day I see my youngest kid, my 8-year-old. She got a rear naked choke and she got an arm lock. And I'm like, Coach Zane, one of my blue belts, he helps coach the kids. We just look at each other like, yo, where did that come from? Because she's, you know, some kids take to it quicker than others, but because she doesn't do dance, she's there the most. But now she's pulling stuff off. Jiu-jitsu is the one thing where all you got to do is keep showing up. And if you develop like a sensitivity of just, and you get better. I've seen people with two left feet become fucking deadly. So I don't know. It's fun to see.
And it's also, Even if it doesn't, especially since they're training at such a young age, if they keep going, obviously they'll be black belts, you know, at a relatively young age. The confidence I'm sure that gives you, even if you're not out fighting all the time, it just probably carries you through your daily life with much more confidence.
I seen it with my youngest. When she first went there, she was timid. When a kid went to go live with her, trying to wrestle, they would like push her down and she would look almost like a frightened like little kid. That's what she was. And then we explained the rules and whatnot. And next thing you know, now her favorite part, if you ask her, I thought she would say the game at the end. I'm like, what's your favorite part of jiu-jitsu? She says the live training. She loves it.
Oh,
we got Jan Blachowicz in the waiting room.
Let's bring him in. Yeah, he's fighting Alexander Rakic this Saturday, the 14th. The prelims on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus, 6:30. And the main card, of course, on ESPN2. ESPN Plus starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's a great fight. Him against Alexander Rakic is a really, really good fight.
And listen, it shows that the confidence he has to come back and fight a guy that dangerous after, you know, after a loss.
Yeah.
There he is, Polish Power.
How you
What's
doing?
Up, champ? Oh my goodness.
Legendary Polish Power. Legendary.
Legendary Polish Power. When you do that like that, it's almost like you have two Jimmy's heads on your arms. Oh, I like it. You look powerful. How you been? How you been, champ? Good?
All good. Yeah, thank you. I feel great. You know, catch the time, catch the climate here. I'm ready. Yeah, good. All good.
Now, you said, Jan, after the Glover fight, you said that sometimes you think you needed to lose that fight to take two steps backwards and then a step forward. What do you think was wrong, or what was happening that you felt you would have lost to anybody that night?
Everything goes wrong. Not only in the fight, but before the fight, in the camp, you know, I just don't feel good. You know, that something, you know, I forget why I'm doing that. I lose the fire inside me. But, you know, like you say, when someone kick my ass, then I start to remember why I'm doing that. And, you know, and back to the good track.
Could you feel that when you walk into the cage? Like, do you know before the fight, like, I like, you know, that feeling is present?
Yeah, I feel very bad. But I am a fighter, so I cannot say that, okay, I will not fight because I feel bad. You know, it's, I cannot say like this. I cannot, you know, say no to Glover, to my opponent. Yeah. So that's why I take this fight, you know. It is what it is. What can I do? Nothing. You know, it's a quick story for me right now. New experience. Like you say in the beginning, you know, I need sometimes lose the fight. If you check my, you know, history of fighting, you see wins, losses, win, one losses, win, two losses. But anyway, I was the champion, so now will be same thing, you know. I believe in that.
Sometimes it ignites the fire again.
Yeah, that was something like this, yeah. But now the fire is big again, and I'm just have joy, you know, to be here, to talk with you, to have fun on the fight week, and just waiting for Saturday.
Is there a mental difference when you're like looking towards the belt to go get it, and then when you have it and have to defend it? Is there a mental switch that happens? Is there anything different?
No, I don't know. Fight is a fight. Of course, sometimes pressure is bigger, sometimes not. But you know, now I feel much bigger motivation because I was a champion. So I know how it feels to be a champion. No,
yeah.
So I want this feel it again. You know, I want my treasure back.
I thought you were having a great second round too. I loved how you were throwing great combinations to the body with uppercuts to the body, which was helping to defend against the takedown. I thought the second round, the first 3 minutes in the second round was very good.
Yeah, but you know, anyway, it was not enough. I cannot, you know, just step in good way to the fight, you know. That was just, you know, one moment of pretty good fight for me, but the rest of it was like a shit.
Did it matter who you had for your comeback fight? Because obviously Alexander Rachik's very, very tough opponent. Was it give me anybody I want just a body to get back in there with? Or how did this fight come about with Alexander?
I never in all my life, I never choose opponents, you know, never. And I will never do it. If the UFC sent me just email, I signed the contract, you know. Come on.
Whoever they put in front of you, you'll fight. You don't ask for people, or you don't say no to people.
No, I never say no to the people. Never. If you don't fight against me, okay, give me the time and place.
Do you watch a lot of tape on a certain fighter? Because a lot of guys try to avoid certain kinds of matchups, but doing it the way you're doing it doesn't seem like you care what the matchup is.
But I watch my opponent's fight. Yeah, of course. It's, you know, it's... because I want to know what he do good, what he do bad. But not, I don't watch everything, you know. I just watch, you know, three last fights is something like this, and that's it. It's enough for me, because the older fights, it's, you know, don't make sense to watch it.
What do you think of Prochaska fighting Teixeira? How do you see that fight going? Do you think Glover is too strong on the ground? Do you think he gets him up against the cage? What do you see happening?
Yeah, I'm excited because I'm also a fan of this sport. So I'm excited, you know, I'm curious. I don't know. For me, it's 50-50. If Glover take him down, he will won the fight for sure. But, you know, Yuri is crazy fighter in good way. You don't know what he's going to do. but this is good for him. It's working very good. So we will see, you know. If
yes,
Glover is so strong, like fight with me, he will defend the belt.
And if you have a good fight against Alexander, if you have the type of win that you obviously want to have, do you think that puts you in, I mean, right now you're number one. Do you think that puts you in contention for a rematch with Glover or against Yuri if he wins?
I hope so. It's, for me, it's natural way, you know, because I'm number one, Rakic is number three. So who else? Me or him? Of course, me. Gonna be next for the title.
For the winner of that fight.
Yeah, of the winner of the fight.
Right, unless it's some kind of a fight that goes five rounds and is controversial and they want a rematch. And sometimes they want to roll it to a rematch. But if it's any type of a decisive win for either one of them, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that my style and Rakic style, it's not going to be boring and, you know, close fight, you know. It's going to be very tough and I think short fight.
Ah, okay. Did you do anything different this camp?
We changed a little bit. Not like, you know, whole camp, just small details. And I work with also mental coach now. So
very interesting. Very interesting. Now, what did he give you any nuggets of advice? Like, sometimes you hear weird things. George St. Pierre had my name on a brick. He threw it in a lake. That's kind of weird, but it worked. Did he give you any advice? Anything that you could pass on up?
Nothing weird. One weird thing what I have is, you know, it's only this. You know what is it? No, we do that just like, you know, concentration training, breathing training. But it worked for me very good, you know. But nothing, you know, weird. Nothing weird like Diego Sanchez style. No.
Oh, we're not going to see you doing cartwheels down a hill saying win?
No, I like hills, but I will not do it.
I better not see you with that little dwarf in front of you. Imagine he has Diego Sanchez's fucking, that coach he had with him in his corner. I'd be like, no!
That's a crazy thing. No, we just do normal thing, you know. We are not so pro like him.
Did you use a guy like this before, Jan, or is this brand new?
This is brand new. Long time ago, I worked with psychology sports, something guy here. Yeah. But that was completely different level of working, you know. Now, like this, she, because this is she. Like, she works with me, it's, you know, on completely different level. She's with me before training, on the training, after training, you know. She see everything, how on my reaction, you know, and she react on the time, you know. Okay, I see that you are... Today you are a little bit weird. Something disturbs you. So, okay, let's talk about this. And she just, okay, focus about the fight, about this, fuck it, and stuff like this, you know. And it's worked. For me, it's working, you know.
That's great.
Yeah, so that is great. It's been 7 months since you fought. So besides training, what's new? Anything new with you?
They stole my car.
Who stole your car?
Who made that mistake?
They don't know. I don't know, but I found them. Believe me, I will find these guys.
Did they strip it or just take it?
They take it, you know. They take it, but we know what is the worst. I was ready for the, because I go to the mountains for the camp, cardio camp. We always do it before training, and I have all my equipment over there, you know. And they take all of it, you know. My friend gave me the car even better, so okay. But you know, all equipment. I need to, you know, go to the shows, buy anything, you know, with. No, but anyway, I go to the mountains and do great camp over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, where'd you park? In the wrong part of Poland? Where'd you park over there?
Yeah, that was in Poland, close to the gym, you know.
You imagine stealing a car and you realize whose car you took? You're like, oh, fuck.
They don't care. They don't care about this, you know. There are men without honors, you know. They are born like a thief and they will die like a thief, you know. That's it.
But you'd like to talk to them in person?
Yes, of course. But you know, they hide like a rat under the, you know, somewhere in the ground, under the ground.
And when you talk to the mental coach, as a fighter, is it because it is a little, do you feel, is it vulnerable like to talk to a mental coach? Like you're just kind of putting your guard down and being honest about things that might be hard to talk?
What's that? You have to be honest. If you will be not honest, it will be not working, you know. But with her, it's easy because she also was a fighter a long time ago. So she know how fighters live, how fighters, you know, working. But, you know, you have to be honest with
sure.
someone like this, you know. If we will do that, so it doesn't make sense.
And how often do you talk to her? Is she there every session or is it twice a week? Or
no, she's with me all the time almost, you know. She's also here in Vegas with me. Yeah, all the time, you know.
Oh, travel and shrink.
Yeah. Like I told you, before training, she watched my training, my sparring session, everything. After training, you know, when I have some problem, I can call to her anytime.
And before, if you had a problem or if you were distracted, there'd be no one to talk to, right? So you just have to kind of keep it in, but no, now you have some...
That was a different situation because my fiance, we sit together in the evening and she said, you should talk with somebody because something is not good, yeah? Maybe that's going to be hard. So that was like, and I say, okay, why not? Let's go, let's try it. Before I don't need it, you know, but now we are in the place in my life where okay, maybe that's going to help and I will be, you know, much better. Why not to try, you know?
Sure, can't hurt. And it's helping you.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of guys come on and say that, right, Matt? There's a lot of guys that are reading stuff like that or talking to these coaches. And most times they're actually very helpful.
Tony Soprano had a shrink. Don't feel bad about it.
That's right. And you've never done this before?
No, it is not on this level, you know, not in this kind of level working with mental coach.
I don't think it could hurt.
No, it definitely doesn't. I mean, because no matter how good of a fighter you are, we all have things in here that kind of weigh us down a little bit and make life difficult.
A lot of voices, a lot of demons. So you need to know. You know.
Yeah.
How to push him away.
For you, do you have like, is it self-doubt? I mean, we all get self-doubt. Is it a little bit of self-doubt that creeps in and starts running around? Or what is it for you?
No, I don't think so. You know, I know that when I start work with her and when I do my sparring before I work her and when I do sparring after a couple of days of working with her, was like, you know, I was here and with my sparring was here. When I start working with her, that way I just, you know, believe that it's something good for her.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, you know, from the floor to the, you know, to the roof.
How is your neck?
My neck is good. It's perfect. I don't feel, you know, nothing more.
Okay. How long was it bad for? And how long were you in pain?
6 weeks, something like this. 2 weeks, before I start, you know, I go to hospital and they put medicine inside and 4 weeks of rehabilitation. And after 4 weeks, nothing. I can start training for like before injury.
Oh, okay. Do you know how you hurt it?
I wake up with the pain in my neck. So first I think that, okay, maybe I just sleep bad and I go for, you know, the physio. He do something on my neck and will be good. But first of all, I go to the training and we do light drills, you know. And my friend, he punched me in the head very easy. That wasn't hard punch, but and he, you know, that's what I feel in this moment was like completely paralyzed my left hand, you know, and half of body, you know, I cannot feel it for 1 minute. I think that I have some heart attack or something like this. I was scared.
Stroke or something, right?
Yeah, because you cannot move your hand. Yeah, so after that, okay, it wasn't bad sleep. It's something serious. So I go to doctor. We do MRI. And something in my neck put a lot of pressure on my nerve. And when someone hit me, that was, you know, this kind of feeling. So they put something, you know, from here to this place, some medicine. So the pressure start to be very low. And then 4 weeks of rehabilitation and I'm ready.
Wait, they put the needle in your neck?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like this, yeah.
From the front?
Yeah, here.
How bad was it? That hurt?
No, because I have, you know, the painkiller. Yes, how to say?
Oh, they gave you something. They numbed it.
Yeah, something like that. But I see everything on the, you know, on the screen what they're doing.
Oh, you watch it?
Yeah, I watch it. I was, you know, I see, but I don't feel it. Yeah.
That's how you know I'm a pussy. That's the first thing I think of. Oh, God, the needle must have been so tough. Yeah.
But it was a weird feeling, you know, very weird feeling because, you know, you have something so big in your neck, yeah?
And you could see it on a monitor.
And you see it, yeah.
So when they shot it into your neck, do they go in and do anything, or does just the medicine relieve the pressure?
Yeah, medicine relieve the pressure, and then 4 weeks of rehabilitation.
Okay, and the rehab is like what, slow movement or yeah, light lifting?
Slow movement, massage, exercise, you know, a little bit of everything, you know.
Was this your first neck injury?
Neck, first one, yeah.
Yeah, neck is scary, back is scary, because you can't do anything without your neck or your back.
Exactly. That's why I was very scary in the, you know, in the first moment, because they say, maybe we're going to do some surgery, but we will see. But after 2 weeks of rehabilitation, they say, okay, it was really good, so we don't need it, the surgery.
When you start training again, are you hesitant, like the first session back? Are you a little nervous, like just to kind of test it?
Yeah, of course. For first couple of training was, you know, very slow. I asked my friend, okay, I hold the gun, okay, punch me, harder, kick. Okay, I can train.
And you knew you were okay.
Yeah, I knew this is okay.
That's the best way to test it out.
Yeah, one way. Best way.
Well, look, this is a great fight, and you know that we really like you, and I hope you have a great fight against Alexander on Saturday night. And how do you feel, before we let you go, how do you feel fighting in the Apex? I think this was supposed to be in front of a crowd, but now it's, I mean, I know you don't really care where the fight is, but does it make any difference to you?
You know, of course, everybody want to fight when it's big arena with a lot of crowds, you know, you feel the energy of people, but it is what it is. It's going to be similar, like in the gym. You go there, do sparring sessions, someone do some training over there, someone watching what's happening, two guys, you know, kick together. So that's going to be similar. And, you know, I do this before. I won the belt in fight right. Like this. I defend the belt in the way like this. So for me, it's good.
Yeah, Jan, good talking to you. Have a great fight on Saturday night. It's ESPN, UFC on ESPN 36. Blachowicz versus Rakic, and great fight at the Apex. I'm really looking forward to it, and I look forward to seeing you fight for the belt again.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's a very honest guy.
Nice guy. It's funny, though. People made a big deal about Glover being like, what is Glover, though? 40? How old is Glover?
42. He's, I mean, Jan's 39, but Glover's 40. I think he's 42.
We could have went to high school together, you know?
Let me see how old Glover is. Hold on.
You look that up when I tell you that Ryan Spann is fighting Ian Kudalaba.
Yes.
I wonder if Kudalaba's going to go in his face and go, rah! That's what he does.
He does do that, yeah. Yeah, he's a frightening man.
You do it now. It's fun. Ah, let me see you do that. Owly lion, cut the shit.
Is that good?
No, it's not. Stop it.
Wow, I'm being frightening. I can't help it. I'm scary.
Do it one more time. No, this is in the guy's face, though. What are you doing? You're in the guy's face. What are you, a fucking zombie? A special zombie? Listen, all right. What do we got? Listen.
Glover's 42 and a half. He'll be 43 in October. Should we do picks?
Sean, would you? Sure.
Why don't we do the first three fights?
Caitlin, we'll go up. The last night. Caitlin, Chuhagan. Us. versus Amanda Ribas. I'm going to say Caitlin by decision. She's like a teammate, so I have to go with her anyway. But this is what I'm going to tell you, man. I think Amanda's going to think it's going to come down to the floor. And Caitlin, I've seen her grappling, dude. She's looking freaking good.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah, Caitlin, is she a brown belt now or is she a black belt yet?
Brown belt, but
she's still a solid brown belt. Yeah.
Listen, she can tap a black belt. That doesn't mean, yeah. I'm telling you, I like what I've been seeing because she's going with good people. I see who she's going with. I see it firsthand and I'm very impressed by it. So I just think that they think, especially, you know, she's got that, she's good standing, Amanda, but I think she's definitely, you know, she'll take it to the floor. And I think that's where she thinks the big difference is going to be. And I think that's where it's not going to be so easy. So,
right.
I think I'm going to say Caitlin by decision.
Yeah, I'll take Caitlin by decision too. And I'm not just saying that because I know her. I think that I think she finds a way to again to keep it standing and even on the floor she can defend herself. So yeah, I'll take Caitlin by a decision. And you know she's jumping up in weight and fighting the number one fighter.
Ryan Spann versus Cutelaba. I'm going to say Ryan Spann. I know he lost to Anthony Smith, but that happens. You know,
yeah, Anthony Smith is.
Cutelaba is a beast, though. He's a beast.
Yeah, he won his last fight against Devin Clark. Split decision draw against
Ryan Spann. Second round stoppage, Ryan Spann.
Let me see one thing before I make this.
Ryan Spann knows how to throw.
Yeah, he does. Bro.
Come on, man.
Hey, look,
are you doubting him?
No, I'm looking up something in his record. Again, he got choked, of course.
Yeah, Jimmy.
I say Ian Cutelaba stops him in the second round.
Well, I said the same thing, but the exact opposite. I say Spann stops him in the second round, right?
Blachowicz, Rakic.
This is exciting. Rakic is tough, man.
Yes, he is. So is Jan. Jan's got 9 years, though. That's the only thing that makes it a little bit tougher for me is that 30 to 39 is a huge difference.
It's true. But you think he's lying about that fire being lit?
No, I don't.
I don't think so either. I think he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 5-round fight.
I know it is. I'm going to say it. Blachowicz in the third round.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And I like Alexander Rakic a lot, too.
Me, too. But if something's happening, it's happening early. Second round, Blachowicz knockout.
Okay.
Ooh, come on, man. I said it. First round?
It's possible.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say the first round, Ron Blachowicz. First round, because I think it's going to be violent. He's going to do what he did to Luke Rockhold.
Okay. You might be right.
Yeah, you know, and you might be crazy. Anyway, don't say the next
one. What, about how it's a lunatic you're looking for?
Anyway, Jimmy.
I'm just saying.
Now, that's it. What else? What do we got, buddy?
Do you got? I'm actually heading. I'm doing a podcast tonight. Last night was crazy. Dude, I rode my motorcycle in the rain.
Wait a second. What?
I have a motorcycle. I rode my motorcycle in the rain.
You have a motorcycle?
I do. So I was having fun. I wasn't hurting anyone. She told me to prove that I'm insane.
Stop it. Listen to me.
What?
You tell me that you walk through Central Park alone? Is that a different story? I walk through Central
Park. No, I didn't. I walk through Bedford Stuy alone. I don't walk through Central Park alone.
Did I say the wrong word? Wait, what did I say?
Bedford Stuy, which is dangerous, and then you mentioned a lovely place for a stroll.
But I
Central Park.
Did you say Central Park in the movie?
No, walk through Bedford Stuy alone.
Listen to me.
And then you made it Central Park, which is lovely. you might as well just change the lyric. I even rode my motorcycle in fine weather.
I want the children to know that the people under 25 to know that we're quoting the great Billy Joel.
I'm not. I'm just having a conversation.
I used to listen to Billy Joel when I had Sweet Air as a kid, and my dentist would put the headphones on.
Yeah,
I'd be looking at the window, and I'd be all stoned with the Sweet Air, and I'd be listening to Billy Joel. It's not a great story, but
no. But I get it. This is how old I am. Glass Houses, which is what that record was, that song was on. You May Be Right was on there. There was a lot of it's a huge record for him that came. I was in sixth grade, and I remember this girl's birthday party I went to, and she got like four copies of that record. Like it was such a massive record, Billy Joel, Glass Houses.
Well, let the kids go Google that.
Yeah.
So what did you say you got out? You're doing a show.
Tonight I'm at the Fat Black Pussycat doing an hour around the corner from the Comedy Cellar. And then, check me out. June 3rd, Jim Thorpe, PA. June 4th, Delaware. June 10, 11, Point Pleasant, New Jersey. July 22nd, 23rd in Denver. I'm finally going back out to Denver to the Comedy Works.
It's legal. Could you bring me back some reefer products?
Yeah. I'll throw out my suitcase.
You're such a good friend.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I'll be over at Sarah BJJ in Strong Island, New York. You know, that's where I am. You know, I do cameos, Matt. Yep. Sarah.
Good for you. That's good.
Me in a nutshell. Actually, this is me in a nutshell. Help. I'm in a giant nutshell. That's from Austin Powers. Don't sign off. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. That's how we're. Oof.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.